You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 100 by Rudolf Steiner. Entitled, the book is True Knowledge of the Christ, composed of two lecture cycles. I'm on the second lecture cycle. It is the 19th lecture in the book. However, it is the fourth lecture in the second cycle on the Gospel of John. And it is translated by Anna Moyse. Lecture 4, given in Basel on the 19th of November, 1907. Today we must begin our studies with an important spiritual scientific term. In Christian occult science, the moon is called the cosmos of wisdom, and the earth the cosmos of love. Moon here means the moon stage of earth evolution. The reason why the moon is called the cosmos of wisdom, that is the old moon, is that everything which had evolved by that stage was filled with wisdom. When the old moon stage was followed by the earth stage, the cosmos of wisdom was followed by the cosmos of love. As the earth emerged again from the dimmed down stage of pralaya, the seeds of the human physical, ether, and astral bodies germinated. On the old moon, wisdom had been placed in these three bodies and their mutual relationships. This is why wisdom is to be found in the construction of these three bodies. The greatest wisdom exists in the structure of the physical body, less in that of the ether body, and still less in that of the astral body. Contemplating the bodily nature of man, not only with the rational mind, but reflectively, we discover this wisdom in every organ, every part of the body. Looking at the human thigh bone, for instance, we find there a real network of bars going one way and the other, seemingly at random. But no engineer would be able today to create these two columns which support the human upper body using the smallest amount of energy and material. Only wisdom was put in there when the divine spirits were still constructing the human body. The human physical body is usually considered to be the lowest principle, but unjustly so, for it is in this very body that we see the greatest wisdom. It is only thanks to this wisdom that the physical body is able to withstand the attacks which the astral body is making on it all the time, and does not break down ahead of time. The passions active in the physical body, the drinking of coffee, tea, and so on, all these are attacks which the astral body makes on the physical body, and especially the heart. This had to be so wisely made that attacks continuing for decades will not destroy it. It did, of course, take many reconfigurations before the right form was found for the heart. It is only because it is the basis for the way the world is built that our rational mind can seek and find the wisdom in the world. Wisdom did not come suddenly into the world, however. It was poured in slowly and gradually, and the world will just as slowly and gradually be filled with love. The whole point of earth evolution is to fill the earth with love. Love has begun to be on earth to a very small degree. It spreads more and more, however, and by the end of the earth stage, everything will be imbued with love, just as it was imbued with wisdom by the end of the moon stage. When the moon left the earth, the power of love existed only as a seed. Initially, only blood-related people loved one another. This went on for a long time, and the sphere of love slowly grew. It needs a certain independence of spirit to be sentient of love and use it. Two powers had always been active in human evolution, one that brought together and one that separated, power of sun, and power of moon. Under the influence of these powers, human beings developed to the point where their three bodies, with a vehicle for the capital I, inclined toward the spirit self, life spirit, and spiritual human being. It was not yet possible, however, to have a final union. That needed a new cosmic power. This power, which had a particularly strong effect following the separation of the moon, came from one of the other planets, which entered into a strange relationship with the Earth. This planet, Mars, made a kind of passage through the Earth mass when the Earth began to evolve. Until then, one particular metal had been missing on Earth, and that was iron. Its appearance on Earth abruptly changed the process of evolution. It is the planet Mars which gave iron to the Earth. From then on, the possibility existed for human beings to develop warm blood that contained iron. The astral body was also given a new principle by Mars, the sentient soul, the soul of courage. The quality of aggression developed in the soul as Mars entered. We now have to distinguish physical body, ether body, astral body, and sentient soul in the human being. The influence of the sentient soul on the physical body led to the development of red, warm blood. The fructifying I was then able to integrate itself bit by bit. Blood is a juice with curious properties, Goethe said in his Faust. The god of form, Yahweh, played a particularly important role in this. He did, above all, take hold of the newly developed organ, the blood, imbued it with his powers, transforming the aggressive properties of the soul of courage into the powers of love, and made the blood the physical vehicle for the eye. Not every human individual had his or her own eye to begin with. The same Yahweh power, the eye power of the same eye, was active in all who were related by blood, preserving the same blood by marrying within the family. Such a small group would therefore have a common eye. The individual related to the whole family the way a finger does to the whole body. Initially, there were group souls. The individual felt himself to be merely part of the tribe. People were sentient not only of the I of those who were alive at the time. It lived on through the different generations for as long as the blood was not mixed and people only married within the tribe. The I was thus not felt to be something personal, but something all members of the tribe had in common. Where we remember things we have lived through from birth, the people of those times remembered what the ancestors of the same blood community had been doing, remembering it as if it had been their own experience. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren felt the same I within themselves as their grandfather and great-grandfather. We are thus able to understand the great age of the patriarchs. In quotes, Adam, for instance, was not the term for a single individual, but for the common eye that ran through generations. I said earlier that Yahweh made the blood into the vehicle for the eye. He did this by causing blood to form. He brought his power to expression in the way of breathing. Human beings became Yahweh human beings, in that Yahweh gave them breath. We have to take it literally that the breath of life was breathed into the human being who had now been provided with the necessary preconditions. Quote, Yahweh breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Close quote, Genesis 2:7. This did not happen suddenly, however. It must be seen as a process that took a very long time. It made man into an air breather. Something else took the place of the breathing process on the moon. where human beings breathe air in and out today, which gives them an inner source of warmth, their ancestors, who consisted of physical body, ether body, and astral body, breathed heat matter, or fire, in and out. On the moon, human beings were fire breathers. Occult science calls them fire spirits, and human beings on Earth, air beings. In spiritual science, all matter is seen as spirit coming to expression. We do not only inhale and exhale air, but with it also the spirit. Air is the body of Yahweh, flesh the body of man. Remembrance of this lived on in the Germanic legend of Woden, riding the wind. On the old moon, too, it was the spirit which was breathed. The same spirits existed on the old moon as on the earth. There they lived in fire. On earth they have become air spirits. In cosmic evolution, some spirits lag behind, like school children who have to repeat a year. The spirits that had made the sun their dwelling place had developed more rapidly, managing the transition from fire to air spirits, though large numbers of spirits did not manage this transition. Those did now act on human beings as spiritual powers from outside, from the sun and the moon. Human beings take them in with the breath. Between human beings and these highly evolved sun spirits are spirits that did evolve a great deal further than human beings on the moon, but have not got as far as the sun spirits and the god Yahweh. They were not yet able to influence human beings in the breath, but nevertheless sought to influence them. These were fire spirits that had not achieved completion. Their element was heat, which in human beings existed only in the warm blood. They had to live on that warmth. In the course of their evolution, human beings were thus between the air spirits that live in the breath, the highest spirits that fill them with spirit, and the fire spirits that sought out the elements of their blood. They acted as opponents to the god Yahweh. Yahweh sought to keep human beings together in small groups by means of love. He wanted to fill them with a sense of belonging together. Yet if only love had been available, human beings would never have grown independent. They would have had to develop into automatons of love, as it were. The fire spirits directed their attacks in this direction, with the result that human beings gained personal freedom. The small groups of people were driven apart. The god Yahweh was only interested in bringing people together in love. He was active in the blood as the god of blood love. The action of the fire spirits was different. It was they who gave human beings art and science. They are also known as the Luciferic spirits. Human evolution then continued under the influence of Lucifer, who gave human beings freedom and wisdom. Under the guidance of the god Yahweh, people were brought together according to the principle of being blood brothers. Human beings owe their existence as free earth citizens to Lucifer. Yahweh placed them in the paradise of love. There the serpent, the fire spirit, appeared in a form which human beings had when they still breathed fire, opening their eyes to things that still remained from the moon. This Luciferic influence was felt to lead man astray. People raised in occult schools, however, did not see this enlightenment as a way of leading astray. The great initiates did not degrade the serpent, but elevated it, as Moses did in the desert. Parenthesis Numbers 21:8-9, close parenthesis. The things to be revealed to man were for a long time revealed as blood love by Yahweh. The spirit of wisdom, a principle which served to prepare for something else, was active at the same time. Love gradually spread from relatively small to larger groups, from families to tribes. A typical example is the Jewish nation, who felt themselves to be a coherent group, referring to all other people as Galileans, that is, people who were not of the blood. Humanity was to be given not only blood love, but spiritual love, embracing the whole earth with a brotherhood bond. The time when humanity were held together only by love among those who were related must just be considered a period of training for what was to come later. The influence of Lucifer, driving apart the bonds that were too narrow, was also in preparation for the influence of a higher spirit who was to come. This higher spirit was called the true bearer of light, the true Lucifer, the Christ, in Christian occultism. Let us go back to the time when Atlantean humanity was on Earth. The Earth did look very different then. Between Europe and America, where there is a great ocean today, was land, a continent which is now at the bottom of the ocean. People are gradually also coming to realize in modern science that there used to be a continent where the Atlantic Ocean is today. People who were very different from people today lived on Atlantis. The relationship between ether and physical body was very different then. A clairvoyant sees two points in the head of human beings today, one in the ether brain, the other in the physical brain, about a centimeter deep between the eyes. The two points coincide in people today. It was different with Atlanteans. The ether brain projected well beyond the physical brain, and the two central points of the brains were not coincident. There can be exceptional cases today where the two points do not coincide. Idiocy is a consequence of this. It was only in the last third of the Atlantean age that the two central points came together, and only then did human beings learn to say I to themselves in full awareness. Atlanteans also had not been able to reckon, count, judge things, and think logically before that. But their memory was vast, extending through generations, and they had some dim clairvoyance. They did not see the outlines of physical bodies clearly, but they perceived what went on in the soul. Meeting an animal, an Atlantean would be clairvoyantly sentient of the animal's attitude to him. If he saw a reddish-brown color, he'd step aside, knowing that a hostile element was present. But if he saw a reddish-violet, he'd know that something was coming toward him that was sympathetic. The value of foods was also recognized with the aid of clairvoyance. Present-day animals, which have retained that dim clairvoyance, use it to judge different plants in their pasture for their benefit or harm. The experiences human beings still have in their dreams are a decadent residue of ancient Atlantean clairvoyance. Atlanteans did not make clear distinction between sleep and waking consciousness the way present-day people do. Their daytime consciousness was less clear than ours. Sleep and dream consciousness was brighter then. In early Atlantean times, states of complete unconsciousness would be filled with mighty dream images. Very early Atlanteans knew nothing of the act of reproduction. It would proceed in states of complete unconsciousness. When the Atlantean woke up, he would know nothing of that act. It was only shown to them in symbols. The Greek legend of Deucalion and Pyrrha, who went to Greece throwing stones behind them, which then turned into human beings, reminds us of this. The act of procreation was veiled in unconsciousness for as long as people only married blood relatives. Under the influence of the Luciferic spirits who, quote, opened people's eyes, close quote, human beings developed conscious awareness and recognized the act of procreation in full awareness. They learned to distinguish good from bad, no longer just concerned with blood relationship, but knowing of their love, human beings grew independent. The Christ then took the place of Yahweh, bringing a higher form of life into the world and making human beings independent of others in their tribe and blood relations. this universal love is only in its early stages. One day the earth will have given its entities over to Jupiter, and they will then be quite full of this spiritual love. The Christ's words, quote, "If anyone comes to me who does not disregard his father and mother, his wife and children, and his brothers and sisters, as well as his own soul-bearing life, he cannot be my disciple," close quote, point to this, Luke 14:26. The Spirit that is pouring out this universal love more and more over the earth is the Christ Spirit. With the coming of Christ Jesus, earth evolution was divided into two parts. The blood that flowed on Golgotha signifies that spiritual love took the place of love within blood bonds. That is the connection between Yahweh, Lucifer, and Christ. The end of Lecture 4.